Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, the Free Legal Advice Centre's Chief Executive Eilish Barry yesterday presented at the UN Universal Periodic Review pre-sessions. FLAC was joined by a variety of Irish human rights organisations, each presenting on a particular topic in order to petition states to make recommendations to Ireland on its human rights record. To discuss this, I'm joined on the line by the legal officer with FLAC, Christopher Bowes, who's been with us before. Good morning, Christopher. Thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Owen.
Just before we go into details then about this UN review of Ireland that happened yesterday and the discussions on it, just remind us about the Free Legal Advice Centre and the work that you do.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. So the Free Legal Advice Centre is an independent, non-governmental organisation, and we've been campaigning for over 50 years to promote access to justice in Ireland. And we provide some services ourselves. So people who want to get in touch with FLAC who might be experiencing a legal issue are able to get some legal information and legal advice from us, and that's of course with the pandemic all done through our phone line at the moment and through phone and Zoom calls for people to speak to solicitors and barristers should they need legal advice. So the best way for people to find out how FLAC can assist them is for them to head to flac.ie, where they can find information in relation to how they can get in touch. And as we've said on the show before, so we don't generally provide legal representation, but we do campaign for a greater system of civil legal aid in Ireland, which in this country is provided by the Legal Aid Board. And it was those kinds of issues in relation to the provision of civil legal aid which we were raising yesterday at the UN's Universal Periodic Review.
Yeah, so Ireland will soon be reviewed as part of the third cycle of the United Nations Universal Periodic Review, or the UPR mechanism, at the 39th session of the UPR Working Group. That'll take place on the 10th of November this year. So just tell us a little bit about what it actually is then and what it means before we go into some of the recommendations that FLAC made.
Yeah, so the UPR is a unique process. So Ireland is reviewed most years in relation to its performance, in relation to meeting its human rights obligations. Ireland is the signatory to a number of international human rights agreements. But the UPR is run by the UN's Human Rights Council. And what's unique about it, as I said, is that as opposed to examining Ireland's performance in relation to one specific treaty, the UPR examines Ireland's human rights record as a whole. And every UN member state is subject to these reviews every few years. So this is Ireland's third review that's coming up. And another unique element of it is that the UPR is a what's called a peer review mechanism. So it's actually our fellow member states who are examining our performance in terms of human rights. And it's those member states then who make the recommendations as to how that performance can be improved.
As I say, a number of recommendations were made by FLAC in advance of this review taking place, and we'll take each of them individually, Christopher, if that's okay. We'll start off with legal aid. What are you looking for here, or what recommendation did you make on legal aid?
So yeah, as I said, in relation to legal aid, in Ireland legal aid is provided by the Civil Legal Aid Board, and FLAC for a number of years now has been calling for our system of civil legal aid to be reviewed. Now, earlier this year, the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, announced that the Department of Justice would conduct a review of civil legal aid before the year was out. However, we haven't heard any more details in relation to that. And I've spoken on the show before just in relation to the issues with the current system of the provision of civil legal aid in Ireland. One of the main issues that became particularly pressing during the pandemic was the fact that there's no legal aid in Ireland for employment law issues, and FLAC's phone line during the pandemic was overwhelmed with calls from people who were having employment law issues. You can imagine the kind of issues that arose during the pandemic in relation to redundancies and reduced hours, or people being asked to return to the office. And we felt there was this desperate pressing need for legal information, legal advice and legal representation in relation to these employment law issues. However, under our current system of civil legal aid, there's no provision for the state to provide those services. So it was organisations like FLAC who are stepping into the breach. And what we are looking for now is for the system of civil legal aid, which the state provides, to be reviewed so that they can look at which issues it should be covering, so that people who are having employment law issues are able to get the advice and the representation that they need. And we can imagine that that press for civil legal aid is only going to become more in relation to employment issues, is only going to become more significant, I imagine, in the weeks and months ahead as we face the full reopening of workplaces and the return to the office. These are unique issues, and people might have novel legal issues which they urgently need legal advice, legal information, or in, you know, the worst case scenario, legal representation in relation to. But under our current system of legal aid, there's just no provision for that. Another, and we would like that the review we're calling for of the civil legal aid system to also look at the resources which are given to the system, because at the moment there's a significant issue in relation to waiting times for legal aid. So even where someone, say, who has a family law issue, which might be quite urgent, and again, flags all the rise in family law issues which arose from the pandemic. Even in those circumstances, even where someone can get legal aid for that issue, there's a significant issue then in relation to waiting times for civil legal aid. The last time I looked at the figures, I'm looking in our report to the UN, we looked at the January 21 figures, and we noted that people who did qualify for civil legal aid could be waiting for up to 44 weeks before they'd even have an initial consultation with a solicitor or a barrister in order to have their issue examined. So that's another one of the issues. We also want the resourcing of civil legal aid to be looked at, and for a full re-examination of civil legal aid and access to justice, you know, to be conducted by the government. And that was an issue which we urgently highlighted yesterday to the member states who are going to be examining Ireland in November, to ask them to raise questions and make recommendations in relation to our system of civil legal aid.
You also made recommendations as well, Christopher, in terms of equality and also minority groups, or, you know, other groups such as the Roma and traveller community and issues affecting them. So if we take both of those together, what were the recommendations that were put forward?
Yeah, so Owen, FLAC has a significant interest in, you know, the issues affecting the Roma and traveller community, because we provide specific services for both of those communities. We run a Roma legal clinic, and we have a traveller legal service which provides representation for members of the traveller community. And in relation to both those services, the issues we've seen arise over and over again typically relate to housing and homelessness, and the extent to which these groups face barriers in terms of access to public services, particularly housing. And both groups are disproportionately represented amongst the homeless community. So in relation to the provision of accommodation, we noted that the government has prepared an independent review of their provision of traveller accommodation, and they've committed in the Housing for All plan to implement that review. And we again called on the member states of the UN to look at that issue and to recommend that the government do implement those reforms in relation to the provision of traveller accommodation in order to, you know, really address this issue of traveller homelessness, which, as I say, travellers are disproportionately represented amongst the homeless community. In relation to equality then, what we wanted to look at was, again, and this is linked to the issue of civil legal aid, examining equality law in Ireland, and is it really serving the communities it's supposed to? And as I said, it's linked to the issue of legal aid in that people who are discriminated against in Ireland, either in work or in the provision of services. So the Act, the equality legislation, prevents 9 groups, amongst them, you know, women, ethnic minorities, travellers, as I said, you know, people, it protects them against discrimination based on their sexual orientation. However, where people do experience discrimination, as I said, either in work or in accessing goods and services, again, they've no access to civil legal aid in order to bring their claim. So you have people who do have these experiences who aren't able to seek redress because they can't get the information, the advice, and the representation that they need in order to bring their claim. So again, it's that issue of equality that we're looking at, and then access to public services for minority groups who may be subject to discrimination, to ensure that they can seek redress for that discrimination, but also that they're able to enjoy equal access to services provided by the state, like housing, like social welfare, and that barriers to them accessing those services are removed. And those are issues that we addressed in detail before the before the member states yesterday, and we hope that they look at them when they're examining Ireland on the 10th of November.
Absolutely. Very, very informative and very comprehensive as well. But providing us with that overview, the legal officer with the Free Legal Advice Centre is Christopher Bowes. And just to give out the details again in regards to FLAC, you can go onto their website, www.flac.ie. That's FLAC, stands for Free Legal Advice Centre. You can also call for more information on 1890 350 250 or 01874 5690. So 1890 350 250 or 01874 5690. And Ireland soon being reviewed as part of the third cycle of the United Nations UPR mechanism at the 39th session of the UPR working group on the 10th of November. Christopher Bowes, legal officer with FLAC. Many thanks for joining us, Christopher, and good morning to you. Thank you once again, and good morning. Now, don't forget that you can keep your messages coming into us, 0833 97 97 97, and just a couple that have come in the last few moments that I want to get to, and in particular, they're in relation to the government and government members attending the event in the north. And one here saying, morning, Simon Coveney and Jack Chambers have no morals or respect for the Republic of Ireland going to an event that celebrates decision of our Ireland. Shame on them. Them both, while Joy says disgraceful that the government are attending that event in Northern Ireland, and the President Michael D. Higgins was right not to go. Well, as restrictions ease, it's understandable that people could experience varying degrees of anxiety. Remember, it's perfectly okay to feel anxious. We all need to adjust in our own time. If anxiety is becoming a problem, don't wait to get support. If anxiety is recurring and impacting on your life, reach out for a little more support. There's a lot of trusted mental health information and supports out there, everything from online self-help to confidential helplines.
The Mental Health Minute from KFM and the HSE.
There are loads of things that make us feel a bit anxious from time to time, like an empty phone battery or a full work schedule or Christmas decorations in September. What's that all about? My point is, it's perfectly normal to feel anxious sometimes, but if you experience ongoing anxiety that's affecting your everyday life, it can have a serious impact. One of the best things you can do is try and identify times and things that make you anxious and try and do less of them. Equally, find things that help you de-stress, like exercising or just relaxing, and try to do more of those. Don't forget to talk to friends or family, because nothing helps as much as reaching out and talking about how you're feeling. Whatever you're going through, you can always find trusted information on a range of mental health supports and services at yourmentalhealth.ie or through the 24-hour Your Mental Health information line on 1800 111 888. I think my battery's about to...
Yeah, very, very important message there from the HSE, and we'll give out those details later on in the programme for those websites and telephone lines, and you can hear more from our Mental Health Minute later on today. After the break, we'll be going to the north of the county, where the Leixlip Youth and Community Centre says it's facing closure within the next few years if more trustees don't come forward to the board. We also have some analysis from the CSO in regard to a profile of COVID-19 in Ireland.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
As I said to you before the break, Leixlip Youth and Community Centre says it's facing closure within the next few years if more trustees don't come forward to the board. Fine Gael, councillor and Cathaoirleach of the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District and PRO of the Leixlip Youth and Community Centre, Joe Neville, is joining me now. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, all. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Before we go into the details here about the possibility of the centre facing closure, just tell us a little bit about the Youth and Community Centre, because I'd imagine, like many different towns and villages around the county, it's integral to the community spirit within Leixlip.
Yeah, just a quick bit of history first. It was this first a group of people got together in Leixlip in 1989, and including my dad, actually, Tom Neville, and a number of others, and they got together and wanted to raise funding to do something like this across a range of groups for OIG, et cetera, et cetera. Tried to raise the funding locally and raised it and kept going and kept going, and eventually helped with funding from national government in the mid-2000s. We're actually able to build the centre up beside the library in Leixlip, and not far from County GAA. People might be familiar, listeners might be familiar with it. And they were able to build it there, and now it's been functioning perfectly for the last 15 years as a central source of the community for community engagement across a range of different groups, like from dance clubs, youth clubs, small boat businesses if they want to do events, parties, whatever, you name it, we hold it. And it's been up and running for the last 15 years, and we can have up to 1,000 people there each week. We've got 26 groups. Typically speaking, we've got a small team for 3 to 5 people every, and then added with volunteers then throughout the day. And we open our doors around 9 o'clock in the morning. We typically don't close till 8, 5 days a week, and then half day on a Saturday. So, as you can imagine, it's become a core part of the community around Confey and the wider Leigh Clip area.
And you held your AGM towards the end of September, and that was where that issue was addressed by Liam McGrath. He's the outgoing chairperson of the group, and he was saying that unless younger people come in, because I suppose that the main cohort and the main people who are working there are of an older generation, and he's saying that there's not that younger generation coming through on the board.
Yeah, because Liam obviously has been chair for the last 3 years. He's been on the board, you know, along with myself and a few others since for about 12 years. And I suppose Liam was looking around the group of be it himself and the others. Some of them have been there for 40 years, been involved to an extent. And I suppose he was saying, look, there in we're in our 70s. The numbers have dwindled down on the board. At the point, it was only like say 5 or 6 there a couple of weeks ago. So he was like, well, look, if there's 3 or 4 of us here in our late 70s. You know, we need to call out to the community to look for more people to be involved, because it won't just last.
You want people to get involved, what does that entail? What kind of roles are available, or what are you looking for exactly?
Yeah, well, like you know yourself, Owen, and apparently you had an ad there with the charity regulator when I was waiting, and you know how, I won't say onerous, but you know the idea of the governance and everything that it takes to run. So what we need is a wide range of knowledgeable and people with experience in this area who might help. And look, we've got one meeting a month, but we have kind of, we could have subcommittees on different items, how we get funding, how we source funding, because obviously, look, we're volunteer led and we're supported by Cobble and we're supported by Kildare County Council and other bodies where we try and get funding. But you can imagine that if you've got a group there with 1,000 people coming through, anybody with any bit of experience, be it legal, you know, be it building, you know, like we have a building ourselves, anybody who can advise us. So we're not looking for any specific set of knowledge or ability. But as I said, like it's about one meeting a month. But within that, you can do as much or as little as you want, because we, you know, you can provide what knowledge and what experience that you can bring to the table. And like, and personally, I would say anybody of any age, and that's why I say I wouldn't specifically be looking for young people. It's just even just to widen the scope, rather it just seems that our board has been narrowing in numbers over the last number of years, and obviously with that, that puts a bit more responsibility on those that are left. And look, it's a great community centre, and it's running brilliantly and provides a great service for youth clubs. Like, we have babies and toddler groups, you know, that are 2 years of age, kids are 2 years of age, and we go right up to bridge groups, you know, people of a much older age, and obviously everything in between. You know, we're quite diverse in what groups we have, you know, and that we use our club centre, our centre as well. So, but it's just that bit of governance that it requires to run that, because, you know, as you can imagine, no more than any GAA club, and everybody's familiar with any GAA club or any soccer club or any other club, they always do need a board just to keep things going. And we've got an amazing a team in there. You know, as I said, it's a small team, but like it's run by Amy McBride, and Amy does an amazing job with Charlene and Trevor, and don't get me wrong, all the wider volunteers. But as I said, you kind of just need a direct set of directors who are sitting on top and just ensuring that everything is ticked, everything is done, because as we all know, as I said, these things have to be done right, and that bit of knowledge and experience that can come from any sector of the community, I think would be more than welcome. And I think that's what Liam was pointing out in his speech, and he was correct in that.
And finally, Joe, if people do want to get involved, how can they do so? How do they come forward?
Yeah, well, look, I would just say send an email to the centre, LYCC. It's on the website there. We've got an excellent website. And said, look, people can reach out to me directly if they want. You know, obviously you can find my number and my email address online, and you know, be through that way. And you know, we put it through in chat. So we've had, and to be honest, we've had good engagement even since that piece appeared and a local newspaper last week. And sometimes it's just a case of a call out, because people see a centre and they see it functioning and provide the coffee. We have a coffee shop in the morning and people go up and it's all functioning perfectly. But as I said, if the numbers at the, you know, and from a board perspective are kind of lessening,
yeah,
it just puts that bit of a stress on everything. So look, the people can get in contact through the centre. If they're walking by the centre, pop in and say it to anyone in the team that they're interested in getting involved in. We'd be only delighted to talk to them.
Well, Councillor Joe Neville of Fine Gael and Cathaoirleach of the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District, indeed PRO of the Leixlip Youth and Community Centre, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning, Joe. And as we outlined there during that chat, it is something that provides a huge amount of community spirit within communities, not only in Leixlip but right around the county as well. And if anyone does want to get involved, you can say, as Joe said, you can get in touch with him and you can get his details on line. Now, if we go to new research which has been released by the CSO over the last number of days, an extensive report, a profile of COVID-19 in Ireland. It was using Census 2016 household data to analyse COVID-19 waves. It gives us a breakdown of households, housing, health, education and so forth. And myself and Ciara will go through some of the main findings. And if we start off with households, there are 36,471 households represented in the sample of COVID-19 confirmed cases used in this report based on where cases lived in Census Night 2016. It's an average of 1.35 confirmed cases per household in the sample. The average number of persons per household in these households was 3.68, and there were on average 2.75 persons per household in all households in April 2016. In confirmed COVID-19 cases, 88% of cases were of Irish nationality and 79% were white Irish when looking at ethnicity. In 2016 of April, there 44% of cases were single and 43% of cases were married. In terms of housing, Ciara?
Yes, slightly different to households. So 96% of the sample is made up by private houses and the remaining 4%, this is living in communal establishments. That was on census night in 2016. And then in terms of occupancy, 49% of households own with mortgage or loan, 32% were owner-occupied without loan or mortgage, and 26% were renting in April 2016. And then the households with a confirmed COVID-19 case, 19% were in overcrowded homes, defined as over one person per room, compared to the general population, where 1 in 10 people live in overcrowded houses.
Yeah, so just to remind you as well, it's people who are confirmed to have COVID-19 this year or last year. It's looking back at where they were essentially during census night in 2016 and comparing them to one another. So on census night, in terms of health, in 2016, 86% of confirmed COVID cases stated that they were in good or very good general health. 9% said they had fair general health, with 2% stating bad or very bad general health. In total, 84% of confirmed cases said that they did not have a disability, while 8% of cases experienced a difficulty with basic physical activities, and 8% of cases stated that they had another disability, which included chronic illness. Three quarters, 75% of confirmed cases stated that they experienced no difficulty in relation to going outside the home alone, working at a job or school or college, or participating in other activities. And that kind of leads on then to the next section, Ciara, which is education.
Yes, so in terms of people who are confirmed cases of having contracted the virus, over half, about 52%, stated that their highest level of education was upper secondary or lower secondary. That was in April 2016 when the census took place. And the most commonly taken fields of study by those affected by COVID-19 were nursing and caring, which does, you know, which is what we've expected over the past 18 months. They were at 8%. Business and administration were at 2%. And accounting and taxation were 2%. I was surprised by that one.
Yeah, and that kind of ties in as well with employment, which is the next section in the report. Nurses and midwives at 6% of cases, which was the most common occupation of COVID-19 cases, despite only making up 2% of all employees in April 2016. The industries most affected by COVID-19 then health and social work, which, as you say, Ciara, we expected that, 22%. Public administration and defence, 14%. Wholesale and retail trade, 11%. Over half, 52% of confirmed cases were working for payment or profit. And then finally, Ciara, commuting.
Yes, don't we know all about it here in County Kildare? So over a third, 35% of confirmed cases worked in Dublin. 24% worked in other cities in the COVID-19 sample. That was in April 2016. These are the people, as Owen has mentioned, that were confirmed to have contracted the virus, but this is from their sample in 2016. And the most common means of travel to work or school of confirmed COVID-19 cases in April 2016 was driving in a car, 53%, followed by bus, minibus or coach. That was 12%, passenger in a car at 11%, and on foot 11%.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting report, and it's so, so extensive as well. You can get more details on the CSO website. That's just a snapshot of some of the key findings. It's a profile of COVID-19 in Ireland using Census 2016 household data to analyse COVID-19 waves between March 2020 and May 2021. Message coming in then on WhatsApp, just to change tack here. Have we lost the run of ourselves on the cost of petrol and diesel? In Newbridge now, and in two stations, they're charging 163.9 for a litre of petrol. And Mick asks, could you run a survey for the county to find out the cheapest? Well, what we could do is ask our listeners from all around four corners of the county what the price of petrol or diesel is in your local village. Obviously, don't mention the name of the station or the garage, but just to get a feel of what the prices are. 163.9 in Newbridge now is the price for a litre of petrol, and you can let us know on the text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97. Quick break to take. When we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up in the next hour of the programme.